And last week I talked about the dark hours. It's in the night that God speaks. Today I want to talk to you about don't fear to go down. We're still talking about the dark hours. How many of you have gone through some season in your life that the light has gone out? Has it gone out in your life? Like, I just can't see the end from my beginning. Just some things just don't kind of line up to what I think it should be. Well, those are the dark seasons of your life, and they get sometimes kind of testy. It gets to the point where you just don't understand how you're going to get out. But I want to share with you what the scripture says, that in the night he does speak, but we must not be afraid to go down. In Psalms 42, 1 through 11, in the Message Bible, I want you to go there if you would. I'm going to read it out of the Message, and whatever version that you have, read along with me. Psalms 42 and verse 1. And when you're there, say amen. Psalms 42 and verse 1. Hallelujah. All right, I'm just waiting for some other people to get there. All right. Psalms 42 in the Message Bible, verse 1. A white-tailed deer drinks from the creek. I want to drink God, deep draws of God. I'm thirsty for God alive. I wonder, will I ever make it, arrive and drink in God's presence? I'm on a diet of tears, tears for breakfast, tears for supper. All day long, people knock at my door, pestering, where is this God of yours? These are the things I go over and over, emptying out the pockets of my life. I was always at the head of the worshiping crowd, right out in front, leading them all, eager to arrive and worship, shouting praises, singing thanksgiving, celebrating, all of us, God's feast. Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God. Soon I'll be praising again. He puts a smile on my face. He's my God. When my soul is in the dumps, I rehearse everything I know of you, from the Jordan depths to Hermon Heights, including Mount Mizar. Chaos calls to chaos. Chaos calls to chaos. Chaos calls to chaos. To the tune of white water rapids, your breaking surf, your thundering breakers crash and crush me. Then God promises to love me all day, sing songs all through the night. My life is God's prayer. Sometimes I ask God, my rock, my solid God, why do you let me down? Why am I walking around in tears, harassed by enemies? They're out for the kill, these tormentors, for their obscenities, taunting day after day. Where is this God of yours? Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God. Soon I'll be praising again. He puts a smile on my face. He is my God. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true today, yesterday, and forever. I thank you, Father, that we can take your scripture and it's food for our soul. And I thank you that we can learn from it, glean from it, and be able to grow with it, Lord. And Father, I just thank you that today is a day that you begin to speak to us, even in our dark seasons, even when we go down. Father, even in the midst of our chaos, Lord, I thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I want you, if you would, please go ahead and go to Genesis 46, please. Genesis 46. And if you don't know where that is, it's the first book. I'll begin reading. I'm going to read out of the Message Bible for today's reading. So Israel set out on a journey with everything he owned. He arrived at Beersheba and worshipped, offering sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. God spoke to Israel in a vision that night. Jacob, Jacob. Yes, he said, I'm listening. God said, I am the God of your father. Don't be afraid of going down. Don't be afraid of going down to Egypt. I'm going to make you a great nation there. I'll go with you down to Egypt. I'll also bring you back here. And when you die, Joseph will be with you. With his own hand, he will close your eyes. Whew, that's a good scripture right there. Now, how many of you know that when we read the first scripture, it's talking about the chaos in your life? Begins to say the chaos in your life, chaos calls to chaos. If you had chaos come into your life recently, today, just know that the chaos that has come into your life is there to test you, to prove you, and to make you be approved. Doesn't just come just because chaos is coming. Because when I read in Genesis, before the foundations of the earth was formed, that the earth was without form, and it literally said it was chaos. But watch what it says, is the face of God hovered over the chaos. So in your chaos, you're about to see the face of God. The face of God just... the face of God just hovering. Just hovering. Just waiting and hovering. Just waiting and hovering. Peek-a-boo. I see you. So in the midst of the chaos, know that God is right there with you. Then we follow it up with the scripture here now about Jacob. He says to Jacob, Jacob, does he not? But the first part of the scripture talks about him. He says right here, verse 1 says, so Israel, who? Israel. Okay, now you got to remember that Jacob, his birth name is Jacob. And he's already addressing him at a different stage. His end. His end. Israel went down, but then he speaks, and watch this. Every time we go down, we have a tendency to go back to our old nature. Did you see that? He says, Israel, sit down on the journey. How many of you are on the journey? Then he says, he speaks to Jacob, to Israel in a vision. When? When did he speak to him? At night. God is going to speak to you in your night seasons. In other words, when it's dark. Can we go ahead and turn off all the lights? Elder, please. Just turn off all the lights. Turn these overheads off as well, please. All the lights. All the lights. Sometimes you just can't really see much of what's going on. And have y'all ever been... Jeff, can you come assist me, Jeff? Please. Just hold my mic real quick. Have you ever been out on the ocean where the water's so crystal blue? It's so crystal blue. It looks so nice. Go ahead and turn the front light on only, Elder, as I speak through my nose. Sometimes, you know, you gotta pressure your nose when you go deep. Because if you don't, the pressure is going to cause some damage to your ears. Have you ever realized that when you're going through some things, you just don't even, you don't even sound right. You can't even enunciate your words. Things get a little foggy. You see it fogging up? Every now and then it just seems like things just start closing in around you. Even when you put something... it's supposed to help you. Just trying to survive. But when you go down deep, it gets dark. And I don't care how crystal clear the water is. But as you notice, it keeps getting foggier, doesn't it? And I'm nowhere near the water. You struggle to breathe. Okay, because now I'm really struggling. Okay. I told you I have a tendency to just do things a little bit different. Just a little bit. When you go deep into the water, you start to lose the sunlight. Even though it's so, so crystal clear. You go deeper and deeper, it becomes uncomfortable to you. That sometimes when God is calling you into the deeper things of Him, chaos is breaking all around you. God, I just want your perfect will, God. I just want to do exactly what you call me to do. And I want to surrender everything I got to you. And all of a sudden, because you've been making these kind of declarations to God, chaos comes into your life. And it comes to get you to the point that you just want to quit and give up. That even if you were to put your snorkel, it ain't going to work because you're too deep. And even if you have yourself one of those oxygen tanks, it's only going to work for just a little bit. And how many of you know that when you're down that deep, you just can't shoot right back up? No, I'm going to get there with this for a minute. You may go deep into the chaos of your life of what's going on, but you just can't shoot to the top. It's a process on coming back up. And the process of coming back up, it takes time. But in the darkness, he speaks because he's telling Jacob in verse 3, don't be afraid of going down. Don't be afraid of going down. Have you ever felt like sometimes you've taken two steps back? And you feel like none of this stuff is working? Have you ever, ever, ever felt like, Lord, I don't even know if I'm doing the right thing no more? I see more darkness than I see light. I see so much of the things that are wrong than I see than what is right. How many of y'all been there? Come on now. Come on now. Have you been there? How many of you are there right now? So is God speaking to us? You've been in a situation that things just don't look right. They don't feel right. You feel like the pressure is all on you and it's not going to give up. But the Bible says right here in Genesis 46, he says, I'll go down with you. He's going to go down with you. You're not going down alone. You're going to go down in the midst of your chaos, but he's going to be right there with you. He's going to be right there with you. And he's coming home. He's coming home. I don't know who you are, but he's coming home. You're going to have to make me work on this one.
Thank you, Lord.
There's some things that come and pressure us. And pressure us and challenge us. And they challenge us and they challenge us. But God is speaking and saying that I am going to go down with you in the midst of everything. Get on there. I'm going to go right down with you. And in the midst of you being down, you're going to feel my hand. You'll feel my hand on you because you're not alone. The Bible even read in the first scripture talking about how everybody, your enemies, comes knocking at your door. Ridicule. Where's your God, huh? Where's your God? Where's your God? What's your God going to do, huh? And you look at you, you're professing Jesus, and look at everything you're going through. You're tithing, you're broke. Huh? Where's all the scriptures? You're going through so much, and they're at your door. Have you ever been there? Huh? They come to challenge you in your faith. Come to challenge you in your God. Come to get into your business about things that are going on in your life, but like you didn't know that you were going through something already. Like, really, you're going to come and add more pressure to me? Don't forget, I'm down in the depths right now. Chaos, but he's with me. We're not alone. And he's watched everything. everything's going to fall apart all around you. Everything. Because it has to. But nothing will ever harm him. Never harm him. He's going to come back to you like a precious baby. Like a precious baby. In the innocence and purity of God. Things are being shaken right now. Some things are being loosed off. Truth is about to prevail. Truth is about to prevail. When we get into that place of God, it gets dark. It gets real dark. He says, I call unto you. Will you come? Will you come? You're not alone. You've held on to promises. You've held on to prophetic words. You've held on to the scriptures that you've been reading and reading. And I'm standing on this word, God. This very word is what I'm standing on. But it seems like every time I try, God, there is somebody always coming to test me. Like there is a thorn on my side that just will not go away. When I make it through what I'm going through, God, but I'm standing and I feel like I'm getting pushed so that I get off of standing on your word. And it feels like all I'm doing is pivoting just to go round and around. And I don't quite understand it, God. I'm reaching for something to give me some comfort. But they're coming after me. They're chasing me down. And there's nowhere for me to go. It seems like I'm going deeper and deeper. But I long to be in your presence, God. But it seems like every time I long to be in the presence of God, I go deeper and deeper into the chaos of my life. And it's times like this that you question, are you real? Is this worth it? Why is it so hard, God? I'm just trying to do what I know to do. And in the midst of your night season, he begins to speak. He says, you're trying to do it your way. Now let me do it my way. And I'll bring some clarity into your chaos. And I'll speak to you if you allow me to. But in your chaos, sometimes we can't really listen. We don't know how to hear correctly. I talked about the scripture in the Bible where there was a blind Bartimaeus and he was blind. He lived in darkness all his life. He wasn't a young man. He was elderly in his age. He had been there for many years where at the pool that many people were getting healed. Many of us come into a church service where the Holy Spirit is moving and there's power and there's authority, but we're sitting just looking, but we can't see because we're still in our darkness. And we have to rely on others to give us a hand to get us into a pool. When we hear, not see, but when we hear, the water's turning. Because blind Bartimaeus couldn't see the water's turning, but he could hear the water's being troubled. Are you hearing trouble all around you? Are you hearing all kinds of chaos come all around you? Blind Bartimaeus couldn't just get there by himself. Matter of fact, he was always carried there and left there to beg for money. But he heard Jesus coming by. He didn't see, but he could hear. How many of you are listening for God to come by? He's going to come through into your darkness. And he's going to speak to you in your darkness. Because in blind Bartimaeus' darkness, he spoke to him. But blind Bartimaeus had to hear him coming first. When you're in the darkness and you can't see anything, you start to rely on other senses. Ever speak to a blind person, they'll tell you that their ears become their eyes. The vibrations become their hands to feel where they're going. That their smell increases when something else is depleted. You may not have the perfect sight of your Savior, but the spirit of discernment is so strong that when He begins to speak, you begin to move with Him. And He begins to speak in the dark hours of your life to tell you, I'm here with you. The Bible says here in Genesis, I will also bring you back here. I will also bring you back up. But because the depths that you were under in the chaos, you can't shoot to the top right away. You've been processing your way from level to level to level, from glory to glory to glory. And He's bringing you up out of the depths through a process. And in this process, you get challenged in your faith. Because you start looking at your now, your beginning process, as opposed to the end. And He wants to show you, if you just rely on me, my hand, I will bring you up. I'll bring you up. Jesus extended His hand to His disciples to teach them many things. Jesus extended His hand to blind Bartimaeus at the pool. Blind Bartimaeus heard Him coming by, cried out and cried out. How many of you are crying out for Jesus? How many of you are really crying out that says, Jesus, I need you and I need you now? And even the people that should be reaching out to you are telling you to be quiet, be still. Actually telling you to shut up because you're getting on my nerves with all that hollering. You're getting on my nerves with all that kind of worship, crying and yelling and screaming. You're getting on my nerves. Can't you do it my way? It ain't about how everybody else is doing it. It's how God is processing it through you. But every now and then God would say, you know what? Don't tell them to be quiet. Just bring them to me. And then He asked him in the midst of his darkness. Wait, He didn't heal him yet. He asked him in the middle of his chaos, what do you want me to do for you? He could have said, oh, you're blind, like Jesus didn't know already. Let me just remove those scales off your eyes so that you can see. He didn't ask that. He asked him in the middle of his darkness, what do you want me to do for you? What are you asking God for Him to do for you right now, still in your darkness? Not after you come out. Oh, now God, that I can see, I want you to do this. Maybe He's going to leave you in the darkness so that you can ask for the right thing. God, don't just give me sight so that I remain blind to the things of God. But give me sight so that I can see how to walk and follow after you. Because blind Bartimaeus, once he got his sight back, he began to follow Jesus. So he asked him in his darkness, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want Jesus to do for you in the middle of your chaos right now? It's time to ask. He's already given it to you in your heart. You're going to see it manifested in your natural. He may be hovering right over you, His face ready to shine on you, ready to give you a blessing. Then He's going to ask you to do something. I'm going to transition into another scripture where He speaks to Peter. Remember, I talked about the fisherman. Peter was a professional fisherman. A trade. During the time of the temple tax, they start telling Jesus and His disciples they got to pay the tax. Here's what I find very interesting. When many people say that Jesus was poor, then why are you going to hire a treasurer to follow you? To count no money. Matter of fact, the Bible even talks about that Mary and Martha and all of them, they used to be the ones that would to go and get the money and give to Jesus. They were always so into the ministry that he had to have someone that would take care of it, be a treasurer. Wasn't poor. His ministry was prospering. Watch this, it's going to help you. But even Jesus' ministry went through lack. And when the time of lack came, he spoke to somebody that knew how to fish. If it would have been up to Peter, like most of us do, in the time of us being lean and not having what we need, we want to throw the big old net out. But he tells Peter, cast the line. He tells Peter, come over here. Can you sit down right here, Mama? Please. Just sit right there like you're fishing. But you got to put it out there. You got to hold it like that. Don't hit Sylvia. And watch this. Watch. He speaks to Peter, a fisherman. Go down to the sea. Go down. Don't be afraid of going down. You see how he spoke to Jacob? Jacob, don't be afraid of going down. Then he tells Peter, go down to the sea and put out a line. A line. Why not the net? How come he didn't say, cast your net? What's this? Don't miss this. This is your nugget. You can eat all day long and it'll fill you. He already proved the abundance to Peter when he made him cast his nets on the other side of the boat. He had already experienced the abundance. He was about to experience a supernatural that would require just the line. It's just one line. And in that one line, sometimes you feel like it's the lifeline of your life. The lifeline of your Christian walk with Jesus. Just that one line. Peter didn't know how to fish with one line. He didn't know how to depend on one thing. He knew how to cast for many things. But he never knew what was going to come up in that net. Much less what was going to come up through that line. And every now and then, God's going to tell you, just go down and cast the line. And sit there and just wait. You're about to experience a supernatural thing, but you got to go down so that you can get it. And when you go down, you're not going to be able to just cast it and get everything that comes, because the special blessing that I have for you is going to come to that one line. It's not going to come when you cast it abroad, and it's not going to come when you cast it in the shallows, because really what he could have done is went with the shorter rod. But he spoke and he said, cast the line. Come on, Steve. Said, cast the line. Speaking to Peter, that already knew how to fish with a boat and a net. What did he do? He went back to the first time to Peter and addressed, don't forget, I command the fish. I control the seas. I control your depths. I control your darkness. Don't forget, I control your lack. I control your abundance. Don't forget, I control. And when I tell you to go down and put a line out, just a line, make sure that you're hearing God completely. Because you may go back to something and choosing something that is not going to go into the deeps. It's only going to go into the shallows. And the shallows, you're not going to pull that fish that God has called for you. Well, you think that you may just upgrade a little bit and may cast a little bit further, but you're only going to go about midway. But he may be trying to get you into the depths that make you even go deeper and deeper. That will go further and further than where you are right now. Because a fishing rod is only an extension of you. I hope you heard that. Christianity is only an extension of you. Pastor, that don't make no sense. How do people see you? How do they interact with you? Is it shallow? Is it only sometimes trusting God? Or is it being still while we go down and we cast the line out? And as we cast that line out, we have to wait for the specific blessing. The scripture does not say that immediately it came. Does not say just because he put the line out, it came immediately. It says when it did come, this is what he told him before it happened. When you put the line out in the fish's mouth that you do catch, there'll be four pieces of silver. How many of you are in need of redemption? How many of you have felt like you've got a couple of bites, but you missed it? Hold on to it tight. You missed it. You hear that? You hear that? Huh? Are you sitting there waiting and you're hearing the drag being pulled? Now, for some of you that have never been fishing, because y'all raise your hand in here, I was really surprised. Some of y'all have never been fishing. We're going to make an outing for the church so that we can all go fishing. How are you going to be fisher of men if you don't never fish before? Well, Pastor, that don't mean that. He said fisher of men. We got to give him the gospel. Gospel. We got to understand the metaphor that he's talking about. Sometimes you're going to reach out to somebody, even through the evangelistic training, and they're not always going to bite. Or what about when they nibble and you want to set the hook real fast and you miss it? What about you want to get to someone that is in the shallows? Or are you going to use this fishing rod if someone's just in the shallows? No, overkill. The hook will be too big and the fish won't bite. But likewise, if you were to go out into the deeps and try to use this, and some of the fish that God has you fishing for, their issues will break this in half. Some of their issues are going to pull apart your extension of your faith. You have to know that when you extend the line into the water, it's got to be weighted down. It can't just rest on the water. Because in the deep things, think about the fish carrying the four pieces of silver. Did it have a little mouth? Had to have a big mouth. Like a lot of people that you've been trying to minister to. Yes, they do. You know what I'm talking about. They're the ones, you read in the scripture, they are the ones that are always testing you. They're always challenging you. Always mocking your God. Well, if you get the hook down deep enough, you'll get those big fish to come up. But didn't even say about the bait that he put on there, did he? Now, how are you going to get a fish? You got to understand this. See, you got to understand what fishing's about. Why is he saying go put a line out? How is the fish that has four pieces of silver going to bite a hook with its mouth full? Think about it. Think about it. God is going to call some supernatural things into being in your life. But you have to sit and wait for it. How many of you have been sitting and waiting for a while? Sitting and waiting for a long time and nothing happening. But he's going to call some things into being. And you're going to see some things happen. And not only are you going to see it happen, but when you set that hook and it's connected to the purpose, your destiny and your future. Can you reel it in a little bit, Mama? Yeah, keep going. Forward. Keep reeling it. Keep reeling it. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. You hear that? The blessing's big. The blessing is big. And you've been waiting and waiting. Sometimes the instrument in which you've been waiting with begins to bend. And it bends. And it bends. And it bends because it's waiting. How many of you have landed a big old fish? Those of you fishing here before. Big one. And you know, I got to be careful because if I pull this thing a little bit too hard, that line's going to break and you're going to be doggone mad. You're going to get so mad. I know. That was a big one. It must have been about that big. You been fishing, Josh? Huh? And all of a sudden you had that thing go like this. Watch this. It just, and then, right? And then you hear that drag. Like, oh my, it's a big one. And you're fighting that thing. And all of a sudden it's pulling back at you. But you watch it. I'm still talking about your blessing. I'm still talking about your provision and your redemption. It's pulling you, isn't it? It's pulling you. Sometimes to the point you think it's going to break off and you're going to lose it. You think you're going to lose it. It's pulling on you and pulling on you. It's trying to pull away from you. But you got to do what God said. I'm going to do this thing. You may not feel it, but I'm pulling. And you think it's pulling away from you. And you don't think you're going to get it. But you just got to hold on and be still. Sit there knowing that God sent you to go down before you come up. But when you go down, and hold on to that rod and hold on, buckle down, because that blessing is going to try to run away from you and you're going to think you're not going to get it. But when you hold on, that blessing is going to get tired of running and it's going to swim back into your direction, and there's not going to be any resistance no more. It's just going to come. And it's not going to matter what size of rod you have anymore. You wore your blessing out that it has to swim unto you, because it's so tired that the only thing now you got to do is stand. And lift it up. And as you lift it up, that thing is drawn closer and closer because you stood on the word of God when you were once sitting on the banks wondering if it was ever going to come. And then finally it bit, and finally it got latched on, and there was a hook that was used. It was called the word of God that said, go down to the sea. And when you catch that fish, it will have four pieces of silver. What I'm talking about is four is the open door. The open door. And four, I'm telling you, we're in 2014. Four is the open door. If you have your ear to the ground to hear your camel coming, you're going to understand that God is opening the doors for you. But your blessing is not going to run away from you. It's going to come right onto you. And not only, he could have said it could have been the drachma that was gold, but he said it was the four pieces of silver, because in the silver there's redemption and there's power that brings you out. All the dross that was once in that silver has been removed in that process of sitting down and waiting. As you were waiting and you were extending the line, and God said, if you just go down and wait for it, when it does come, you're going to go through a process. And this process is going to remove all that junk that you've been going through. It's going to remove all that junk that's been on you. It's going to remove all of that pressure that you've been going through. And every time that you think you can't make it, stand on my word, because I'm going to bring it to you. But you're going to feel like it's going to try to get away from you, like it's going to try to break off. And every now and then your hand is going to get so heavy that you're going to want to give up. But let me remind you that Moses, when his hands were up, Joshua had victory. And every now and then he'll call people to the side and say, well, you need to help him. Help your sister. Help her, because that blessing is too big. Help your sister. She's getting tired. Help her hold that up. She's getting tired. Come on, man. You've been holding on and waiting, but she's getting tired. She's getting tired of waiting. She can't make it no more. Hold that thing for her. Don't reel it in for her. That's her blessing. You gotta hold it for them. You can't let it go. You can't let it be taken out of your hands. She's gotta bring that through. You can't let nobody else take it in for you. She's gotta reel it in, but somebody's gotta help her. Somebody's gotta say, I got you in the midst of this. You ain't gonna do it by yourself. I'm gonna pray you through. I'll fast for you. I'm gonna continue to stand with you. You ain't doing this alone. I'm gonna help you bring in your blessing. And when I bring it in, you're gonna be redeemed. You're gonna be redeemed. And every tax that the enemy's trying to put on you is gonna be paid in full. And you'll never, ever be sitting at the wayside anymore wondering if it ever's gonna come. Come on, somebody. Give God a praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your word.
Thank you, God, that we'll wait, Father, in the process of our life. We'll wait. In our darkness, you spoke to Job as he was losing everything. His children, his wife, his health, his mind, his friends. You came in a dream and in a vision, and you spoke to Job in his night season. And when you spoke to Job, what you did is spoke to his spirit man. And all of a sudden now things that he had lost began to multiply and come back to him greater than when he lost it. You may have lost someone and the state that they were in before you lost them. But when God brings them back to you, hear me and hear me good, they're not going to be the same way when they left. They may have gone through a process and all of that mess is about to be taken away from them. But when they come back, they're going to be polished silver. They're going to be in the fish's mouth. Why the fish's mouth? Because the redeemed of the Lord stay in the mouth of God. He says that I watch my word to be performed, that it will not return void unto me. Everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God shall accomplish what it was set out to do. And if the enemy's been lying to you and lying to you that it's not going to happen, that's when you stand. And if you're getting weary in the standing, don't worry, because God has someone holding your hand up. And you're about to experience the revelation that God will give you victory. Even in the dark seasons of your life, He will speak. Do not fear of going down. He spoke it to Jacob, and then He spoke it to Peter. Go down. Don't be afraid of going down, because you're about to come up. If your health is turned and you feel like it's not going to change, just stand. God, I'm not afraid of going down, because you're with me. Scripture says unto Jacob, and I will bring you up again. How many of you have felt like your blessing has slipped away from you? Like you missed it. You didn't set it. God is commanding it to latch on to your line, to come unto you. Many people have their lines out in the water right now. God, I'm just waiting on you. It is so hard. I don't know how I'm going to make it, but I'm going to stand on your word. And the word that I'm going to stand in is you go down with me. And your word says that you'll bring me back up here again. And when he does it, he redeems you. Even when you went down. You lost something, a job, home, vehicle. How about a spouse? How about a sister, a sibling? How about some friends in your life? Don't worry, I'll go down with you. And I'm down there in the depths of your chaos. And I'll bring you up here again. I'll bring you up here again. It's not going to be the same. It's not. That's how I know that God is speaking in this very hour. He may make you leave a city or a state and go to another city and another state. Because he has a plan. That plan wouldn't come into fruition in the state that you were in. Because you had to get to that geographic location that he has for you. If you ever wonder, why do I get transitioned here? Why do I get transitioned there? Why do I have to go over here? Why do I got to go there? How come I got to leave this church? I've been in this church for 15 years. And now you want me to go start all over. He says, you're not starting over. This isn't tenure. He's not speaking about how long you've been in God. It's how long has he been in you. I have to move you to go be a blessing to somebody else. And then all of a sudden you begin to see that he begins to bring some people back into your life. They're going to add and not take away from you. They're going to add to your life. They're going to assist you in what you're going through. They may be coming over here just to teach you something different that you didn't know anything of. Many of you have been there before. You knew something, but you just didn't do what you knew. Because this got in the way. You start to rationalize. And start, I thought, yeah, that's the problem. Don't be thinking. Be knowing. Pastor, that's just wrong English. No, be knowing. You're knower. Know that you know. The word is true.
And whatever went forth, it's going to happen. Because he's going to hover over you. And he's going to bring it to pass. Because you've been crying for it too. You've been asking for it. Now it's not just about you. Now it's for him. And now you're going to see God hover over it and bring it to pass. Just when you thought you couldn't do it no more, it comes to pass. Because he knows how to do it at the right time. And then he redeems you because you've been standing and you've been waiting alongside of him for this. You sense something different now. It's different. It's different because God's in it. And when he's in it, there's a sense, an anticipation, a stirring, because it's about to manifest. Don't lose sight of the fact that if you're waiting, you may be waiting alone. But when it's time to haul it in, you got people that stand with you. And don't be afraid. Well, now you're only here because my blessing. No, you're about to lose it. And you needed help. I'm just here to pray. Just here to lift you up and encourage you. When you get yours, it's because God gave to you. God, be a blessing. Be a blessing. I pray that you enjoyed this series. There's more, but I don't want to not do it justice. I've had a stirring in my spirit for the past couple of days, and I keep asking God specifically, what is it? What is it that you're doing inside of me? And I've talked about this Africa trip, and I'm excited and I'm scared at the same time. But I'm being challenged, guys, challenged. Not just challenged in my faith, challenged in my natural. Spiders are for real. Snakes are for real. People are very real that really don't like Americans. Now, it's not hostile where I'm going, but there is some hostility there. And I've been praying, God, you send me, I will be the Jehu. I promise you, God, I will. But when I go, I want to know you go with me. Because one thing I've said, even when I started this church, God, if you're not there, I'm not going. Because then I got to do this by myself, and it's hard. But every now and then when I feel like I just can't, even just yesterday, a couple of days ago, I was low. Oh, I was low. I was low. Praise and worship couldn't get me out of it. Prayer couldn't get me out of it. I was low. My health couldn't get me out of it. My faith couldn't pull me out. I look back at where I once was. And I look at where I'm at today. As an individual, as a person, as a father, and as a husband. I'm not the man that I used to be. I look back and I looked about all these different things and scenarios that God has brought me through. I started to feel a little bit better. Nothing changed. But I reflected back when we were living in a room, not having a vehicle, not having a job. And then when we did finally get a vehicle, it didn't hold us all. The kids had to be in the back of the truck. Just for us to get to church, we had to put that big old blanket over them. How are we making it, God? We have our baby, Hannah, Josh. We have our older boys in the back of a truck. We drive. And the church we were going to was far away. How are we going to make it, God? And there's a lot of problems with this vehicle, God. I got to trust you in it. The windows wouldn't go down. The AC wouldn't work. And when it would rain, we'd look in the back and I'd see my sons underneath that blanket. This can't be you, God. It can't be you. Doing the ministry, doing everything that I knew, what the Bible says to do. And then he says, shut your church down and move to Albuquerque. And that was the beginning of him bringing me up out of my deeps, the deep places of God. I left my family, went to Albuquerque. And that was the beginning of a transitional phase of my life. To do something I knew nothing of. I had no inclination of what I was going to do and how I was going to do it. I knew how to cook. I knew how to cater. That's all I knew. And he threw me into construction. And I didn't have my backbone there with me. Staying in a haunted hotel. And I asked God, why am I here? Why? Why am I here? Not knowing that he was transitioning me out of my lack. That I was able to get a vehicle debt free. That fit all of my children. With AC in the back. Everything that we wanted, whatever we wanted, go pick it out. And when you're done, tell them to call me and take it home. It's yours. We don't understand the process. And you don't know how he's bringing you out. So 2 days ago in my living room, I'm looking around and I said, God, you brought me from a long way. A long way. If my tomorrow don't change, you brought me from a long way. But I know your promises are true. And when I can't see it, you can. And when I can't lift up my head, you lifted up for me. And that scripture became so real that my tears became my breakfast, my lunch, and my dinner. And I didn't want to show my kids or my wife that I was weak. And if y'all know me, I go to bed early. But I would stay up late just so I could cry. I'd get up early so I could cry. I said, God, I don't know if I can make this. I'm tired. He said, will you just go down and worship me? I began to experience something. It was in my spirit. He said, that's my people getting tired. And there's nobody holding them up. Because everybody's focused on themselves. And I begin to feel the peace of God. I say all this as a testimony on how those who you see on TV, that you think they've made it, they have troubles too. I may have a smile on my face. I love to joke around. And I love to get on my Hannah's nerves. It's one thing that the Lord spoke to me. He says, if you just remember, if I was to never do anything for you again, your soul is mine. I think we lose the value of being saved. Saved. And I realized it's not about everything else. It's about Him loving us. And I began to come up out of my depression, if you would. 2 days of depression. And you got to understand me, I don't get there. My wife will be the first to tell you. She says, you don't trip, I trip. You just like, it's going to be all right. Well, these 2 days, I couldn't shake it. And nothing changed, guys. Nothing changed. Matter of fact, more things went south than north. And our car, well, that was once a blessing, is now needing resurrection power. But I know this to be so true. I drove around with my wife the other day, and we have one vehicle, and just hear what I'm saying. I'm not trying to do anything else. Just hear what I'm saying. And sometimes I felt like I was going backwards, going back to something that I didn't want to go back to. He said, I'm getting ready to give you momentum. Brace yourself. Because it's backward pedaling. You're about to go through something that's been holding you back. But I'm going to allow you to do it. Because I'm with you. And that's why I knew this message was for us today. I had a wonderful text. Someone says, don't worry about the empty seats. Just count the fact that He is there with you. And I just thank God that I can come into a church and feel Him, and that we allow Him to be God, and we'll move out of the way. From crazy fishermen to Scuba Steve, or I just want you to know that God is trying to get us to understand the revelation of His love for us. And He'll at times make you look back at the panoramic view of your past. Look at what I have done for you to this point. And look at every transition, and you've seen my hand. You've seen me bring you out and bring you out and bring you out. You've seen me take you from glory to glory to glory. You've seen me do it. I change not. I will do it again. Process this thing and go deeper. Go deeper. So I pray that you understand that what I prepare for you, I live. There's a lot of preachers that will go on the internet and pull all kinds of stuff out from other preachers, but if it's not from the heart, you're not going to feel it. I try to give you everything that the Lord has put in my heart to give you so that you feel the blessing that God has spoken to me. There's many preachers in here, many. And if you got something that God has put on your heart, you need to let me know. You know, there's pastors that won't give the mic up for anybody. I'm like, anybody ready? Because we need another voice to speak. How are you going to be trained up if you don't get out of your training wheels? But I appreciate you guys. I really do. We pray for you. We believe God for you. And we thank God for you. And if the mere fact that you're in this house, the house of manna, I know what angel stands in this house. It's an angel of restoration. I know what God has called this house to do. It's to restore family, restore health, and restore wealth. And that's what I stand on. I know that the angel over this house brings that into existence. And I thank God for that. If you would stand to your feet, please, as we close. Thank you. You can play, guys. You can play. Go ahead.